Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we begin with a reading from the book of Sirach, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and with him it remains forever and is before all time. Let me read that again. All wisdom comes from the Lord. And with him it remains forever and is before all time. The sand of the seashore, the drops of rain, the days of eternity, who can number these? Heaven's height, heaven's earth's breadth, the depths of the abyss, who can explore these? Before all things else, wisdom was created, and prudent understanding from eternity. Before all things else, wisdom was created, and prudent understanding from eternity. To understand really who you are, to understand your purpose, to understand the world around you in light of eternity. This is true wisdom. To understand, in a certain way, God's priorities. This is true wisdom. We need to seek wisdom. And it doesn't come by checking out certain websites. It doesn't come by sitting before computers or videos of some kind. It comes from prayer, that you begin to see what are the real priorities in life, what is most important, not what the world tells you, but what God reveals to you. This continues, the word of God on high is the fountain of wisdom, and her ways are everlasting. That's why I want you to read scripture every day, that because it has power to shift your priorities if you allow it. You're free to make the choices, but it gives you power to make the right choices. You have free will. You can choose not to. I certainly wouldn't recommend it. You want God's priority so that you can see life through, in a certain sense, the eyes of God. Only the grace of the Holy Spirit can give you that. You want to see, in a certain sense, we are human, yes, but as much as we can, we want to see what God sees. We want God's priorities to be our priorities, and it's wisdom that gives us that. To whom has wisdom's root been revealed? Who knows her subtleties? To whom has the discipline of wisdom been revealed? And who has understood the multiplicity of her ways? There is but one wise and truly awe-inspiring, seated upon his throne. There is but one Most High, all-powerful, Creator King, and truly awe-inspiring one, seated upon his throne, and he is the God of dominion. It is the Lord. He created her through the Holy Spirit, has seen her and taken note of her. He has poured her forth upon all his works, upon every living thing according to his bounty. He has lavished her upon his friends. God gives us wisdom, brothers and sisters, when we're baptized and especially when we're confirmed. We're given wisdom, but it's not forced upon us. It's there. We've got to put on the right glasses, so to speak. We've got to find the right keys to open the door. And it's gladly available to us, lavishly available to us, because God wants his sons and daughters to share in his priorities, his wisdom, his understanding, his counsel, his fortitude, his knowledge. The gift of wisdom is priceless. Ask the Holy Spirit for it daily. that you may see as God sees, in the sense of you may see what's really important and what isn't. Where our attention is grabbed, that's worthy, and where it's not worthy. Don't just follow the ways of the world. Don't follow the latest commercial or the latest popular program. Don't do that. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Read Scripture. Ask that the gifts that were given you in baptism and confirmation be activated, that you might share in the mind of God and the priorities of God and the heart of God. Psalm 93, the Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. He has made the world firm, not to be moved. Your throne stands firm from of old, from everlasting. You are, O Lord. Everything in this life in which we put our time, our attention, our energy, our money, all of that will pass away. But what is in God's kingdom will last forever. That's where you want to invest, in the kingdom of God and in his priorities and his gifts and his promises. How much are you so enmeshed in the world that you can't see beyond it? The gospel today is the gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him, and he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son, possessed by a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." And he said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. So we're dealing here with evil. And when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. When he saw Jesus, the spirit, small s, immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. And then he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith." There's the key, brothers and sisters. Do you have faith to invest in God, his word, his priorities? Do you have faith to trust what God asks of us more than what the world asks of us? Where's the weight of your trust? Is it in God, or is it in the things that will pass away? Stock markets, jobs, salaries, etc. Yes, they're important to live in this world. I'm not denying that. But where is your trust? So when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. And as he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Can you imagine? And he questioned his father, "How long?" And the father says, as I read a moment ago, the father says, "Since childhood, it has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Listen to that. I'm repeating this because I want you to hear. This has been since babyhood for this child. And the father is saying, "If you can do anything, will you help us?" And Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible to one who has faith. So when we're dealing with seemingly insurmountable things, where do we go? It's fine to go to doctors. It's fine to seek the right kind of medical help, of course. But it's also equally, if not more, important to go to the Lord and say, Lord, give us wisdom, give us direction, so that we hear what we should do in this situation with our child. Always turn to the Lord. Always. Yes, get good medical help, spiritual help, of course. Look for people who can help. But go first to the Lord so that you're rooted in Him, so He is the source. That indicates that you have faith. That indicates that your life is important to God, that you go to God and ask for help. Jesus said to him, everything is possible to one who has faith. And the boy's father cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's a wonderful prayer. I do believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, there is a level of faith in me, and I acknowledge it, but, oh Lord, my faith needs to be strengthened. And God will do it. Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, he's dead. He's dead. Probably looked dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. And when he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, why could we not drive the spirit out? And he said to them, this kind can only come out through prayer. In other words, God does give us authority, much authority over evil. He gives to the ordained priest an even greater authority to cast out demons. But by our baptism and confirmation, we can, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over my impatience. I take authority over my anger. I take authority over my sexual desires. I take authority over my addictions. In the name of Jesus, Lord, break this hold on my life. We can pray that way because we're baptized. But many times, if it's quite serious, we need more help. And we should seek that help. Turn to a priest. Ask him to pray with you. Jesus says, and this is the important thing, why could we not drive the spirit out? And Jesus said, this kind can only come out through prayer. In other words, we need to have an ongoing relationship with the Lord. We need daily prayer. And we need to come to him in these difficult times when we see any kind of demonic activity. We need to come to the Lord. We need to ask for the Lord's power and the Lord's strength. We need to pray in his name. Demons are real. They don't have to overpower you. They don't control you at all unless you give them access. But if you're turning to Jesus in your every need, Jesus will hear you. The power of Jesus' name can both preserve you and free you. There's a lot more to be said about this, but for the moment, recognize that in all of our circumstances, turn to God, turn to prayer first. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.